Thessalonians, the last chapter, chapter 5. How many is glad to be at Cornerstone this morning? Amen. Miss a lot of our people, man, over the month of July. We've had a lot of things that have happened. Vacation, but then this came in, this storm came in, and this wind. And I know that it created some fear and some trepidation. But I think that no one was injured, and that everybody was kept safe. How many knows that utilities can be turned on? Utilities can be turned on. But you can't turn on someone who has been, you know, killed, somebody who has been destroyed, a family that's been destroyed. So we thank God. We thank God that God kept his hand on them and on their lives and on the lives of our families and many in the community. It has been a horrendous week. It has been a chaotic week. It's been a week that has been filled with, you know, a lot of tragedy on both sides. And it is still not finished. There are things that are going on in our country right now that are just horrendous. And a probation officer was executed in the Raleigh area this past weekend, this weekend. And so many of our people in blue are on high alert on throughout the county, throughout the state, and we need to hold up those individuals to the Lord. Amen? Folks, listen to me. Our system is whacked. Amen? Our system of law is whacked. But let me tell you something. Until you've traveled outside this country into a foreign country, I can tell you right now, it is the best system we have. If that system is to change, if the political system, if the legal system, the economic system, the educational system is going to change, the church is going to have to change first. I said the church is going to have to change first. If there is going to be anything, the church needs to be healed. The church is broken. It's broken in its vision. And I believe a lot of that is because we've lost our way. Our mind has been, we have been seduced by the spirit of Babylon that is in the age that we're living in right now. So I want to get into the Word. Don't want to get ahead of myself today. But I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you're safe. You can look here with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21. And then I want to go to 1 John chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Look there with me. Prove all things. Everybody say it with me. Prove all things. Prove some things. No, think. Prove all things. Can I tell you? One of the weaknesses in the church is that we prove nothing. We accept so much that goes on. And we accept it because we accept it for who is saying it instead of where they are saying it from. And sometimes we take things as scriptural. I mean, in Jewish tradition, there were things that were taught and that were spoken that even though it was not written in the laws of Moses and in the five books, the Jewish rabbis at the time many times would take, and what they would do is they would add to, it was similar to, are you listening? It was similar to, and they would add to. It was similar to the Word. It sounded like the Word. It looked like the Word. It sounded agreement. It's like I said the other day, is the old cliche, godliness, cleanliness is next to godliness. And, you know, some people think that's scripture. My mother believed it. I mean, she believed it was scripture in our house. I mean, I'm not saying that. It was scripture, but it wasn't the Holy Script scripture. It was Mama's scripture. Sometimes I didn't know quite sure. Mama's Bible, my Bible, the Holy Bible, whichever. But in our house, it was. But how many knows that's not scripture. Amen. It's like some of you quote, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. How many's ever quoted that scripture? Raise your hand. Well, it's not in the Bible. The context is in the Bible. Are you listening to me? The context of it is. Amen. I know some of you just like, I know it's in there. I'm going to the back of my Bible. I know that scripture's there. Well, you can look all you want. Amen. The context of it is. The context of it is in the book of John. But it does not say. Are you listening to me? So the context of it is yes, we're in the world, we're not of the world. But there's no scripture that says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? Are you hearing me? So there is a lot of things that we quote as scripture. Amen? I mean, if you want people to listen to you, just tell them. You know, God told me. What? Amen? I mean, if you put God's signature, you know, to your chocolate cake recipe, you know, because your recipe is like nobody else's, and God gave me this, and He signed His name, Jehovah God. Jehovah God gave me this recipe. This is a heavenly chocolate cake. Well, you can sign your name, His name, Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit's name in invisible ink, but it's still... It may be good chocolate cake, may be the best chocolate cake in your family, but how many knows God didn't give you the recipe for that chocolate cake? See, there's people, I just saw some people's eyes look at me and say, just a little bit of resistance. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Amen? But I want you to hear something today is this. Is that God honors His word. That's what God honors. God honors His word. God gives favor and grace to where He's at. But I want you to know something is this. If there was ever a time that we live in that we need to hold fast, if we got a local church that is preaching the word and you have a pastor that's preaching the word, amen. If there was ever a time we need to make the local church strong, it's right now. Not tomorrow. And we got people, man, who are flaking all over the place. Who have all kinds of weird and strange ideals. Who are being led away by every seducing spirit that is imaginable. Because I want you to know, it is the time and the age that we are living in. Come on, turn to somebody and say, now listen to me, I want you to follow me closely here. We are living in the end times. We're living in the end times, but what does that mean? Amen? Some of you, whoo, we're going out of here. Well, I don't know if we're going out of here. Okay? You got to make sure you got the right ticket before you get out, all right? You don't want to get on the wrong train. I said, you don't want to get on the wrong train. I said, you know, you don't want to come by and the conductor say, you missed the wrong train, I'm sorry. You want to get on the right train. And the right train is this. I want you to understand something. And I'm trying to give some preparation to this message. And I want to preach it the way that God has given it to me. But I want you to understand is that before anybody can believe a lie, you have to be conditioned to believe that lie. See, before you can believe a false truth, you have to be given a part of real truth. Well, I know some of you just, you know, were like, what, Pastor? That's right. See, the two things you have to make up a lie. Does anybody know that? I've already taught it. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, amen, you're behind. But what is the two things you have to make up a lie? You have to have truth, and you have to have a lie. The lie is made probable because of that half-truth, that bit of truth. Not the whole truth, not the truth that sets you free, but a part of the truth. Amen? So when he said to Eve, what? Oh, God don't want you. Sure, God wants you to eat of that tree. Why would he deny that of you? Isn't that what he said? She told him, well, we can, because he asked her, he said, well, what tree are you able to eat? She said, we can eat of any of the trees in the garden except this one right here. Are you hearing me? See, I want you to understand something is this, the enemy engages us in conversation. And I can tell you where he engages us in conversation. The enemy will engage you at your point of doubt. The enemy never engages you at your point of faith. Oh, somebody needs to preach with me. My Lord, that was right from the throne. I said he never engages you in your faith. He engages you in your question, in your doubt, in your fear. That's when the enemy comes and questions you. Does God really care about you? Is God really conscious of you? Is God really going to meet your need? He never engages you when you're in faith and you're in that place. He knows. Why would he engage you when you are confident of what you believe? The enemy never engages you at your strongest point. He always engages you at your weakest point. He comes not through the door, but through the cracks of your theological walls. How many caught that? I'll say it again. Amen. Some of you are napping there for a second. All right? I said he never comes through the front door. The door, because who is the door? Jesus is the door. Amen? He is the doorkeeper. He's the one who stands. He is there at the door. He is the door. He is the way. He doesn't come through the door because he knows not to come through there. He doesn't come to your spirit. He comes to those places in your mind, the cracks in your wall, the cracks of your theological walls, the things that you have not established, the things that you have not made sure in your life, the things that you have not been discipled in is the places where the enemy's going to come in. Hello? He doesn't come in that place to where that you have received victory and you're on the other side of it. He comes at that place to where in your weakness, in your time. He's not the one who throws a lifeline to you. It looks like a lifeline, but it's just nothing but a way of destruction. Because he wants you to believe a lie. The Bible says, believe a lie and you are. Amen. You can say it's not swearing in church. Amen. Believe a lie and you are. Some of you are afraid to say that word. Damned is what the Bible says. If you believe a lie, you are, amen. See, some of you still can't say it. Part in church, I can't say that. It's in the Bible. Lord, have mercy. Amen? You're not swearing. Listen to it. Believe a lie and you are damned. You're destroyed. Because that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to believe a lie. I said, he wants you to believe a lie. Believe a lie about what? Well, he wants you to believe a lie about God, but he also wants you to believe the lie about yourself. I said, he wants you to believe a lie about yourself. If he can get you to believe a lie about yourself, if he can get you to confess, I'm an angry person. I'm a hateful person. I'm a jealous person. I am an addict. I can never get help. This is the way it's always going to be. He wants you to believe that, hold to that, hold to that, hold to that until it destroys every fiber and part of your life. Every part of your life. Amen? And the problem is that he can give you all the proof. What proof does he have? Well, he has your history. Amen? I said he has your history. I said he has your history. He has all the mistakes. See, God, listen, if someone is reminding, if your mistakes keep coming up to you, if your mistakes keep coming up to you, if your sins, if your past sins that you have repented over keeps coming to you, it's not God who's bringing them to you. Somebody needs to shout. The only one that's... Why is that? Because God has forgotten your sins. He's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. He's taken your sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Are you hearing me? Even if you go to God and you talk to God about your past, God's just going to look at you and say, what? What are you talking about?
See, some of you you got to grasp that. So who is it that keeps coming to you, reminding you about what a big dummy you are? See, if God's going to correct you, if God corrects you, are you listening to me? This is not my message. If God is going to correct you, God doesn't correct you on the level of condemnation. That is that God doesn't demean you. Are you hearing me? I said God don't demean you, degrade you, disenfranchise you from Him. God, that is not the way that God corrects you. If God's going to correct you, He's going to correct you with love. Now, that doesn't mean it ain't going to hurt. Oh, somebody help me today. Amen. I said, somebody help me today. I said, it don't mean it ain't going to hurt. I'm going to sit right here until you say amen. Don't mean it's not going to hurt. There's times I've corrected my children, then and now. I've corrected my children. And I want you to know something is that for the season, it hurt. It didn't feel good when I corrected them. But why did I correct them? Because I don't want them walking around like they're bastards. They are sons. And if they are sons, sons is not a genetic term. It is a spiritual term. And that is if they are my son, they're my daughter, then I want you to know something. I love them. And if I love them, I'm going to chastise them. I love that word better than John Wayne used to use that word all the time. Chastise. I'm going to correct them. Why? Because I don't want them. God don't want you to keep acting the fool and believing the lie. God keeps stretching out, reaching out to you to bring you in and to bring you into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ so that you can know who you are in Him and so the devil can't lie to you no more. The reason why he can lie is because you're not established in the truth. And when you believe that lie, you wake up Monday morning and you're depressed. What's wrong, honey? I don't know. You don't feel good? I don't know. Well, Jesus in heaven, just say it out of your mouth. You want to say it. I feel all depressed. I don't know. Just came on me. From where? Did the depression elf come during the night and sprinkle some depression, depression dust over your head as you slept the night and you woke up and all of a sudden you're depressed? Depression doesn't come from the Father. Depression comes from hell. Amen. It don't come from God. That's not the truth of God. God tells us that we are the one. See, that's the whole point that we're getting to here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are you listening to me? See, the world is going to accept the Antichrist because they're already living in an Antichrist spirit. I'm going to say this and I'm going to preach. See, the church looks at the world and we see hell spewing itself like we did down in Dallas, like we do when these police officers are terrified. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit's already spoken. Many of these police officers are terrified out of their skin. They're terrified. Before, it was a common thing. They could stop somebody in a traffic stop, or they can stop somebody, and there was enough respect and there was enough honor to where they could stop and they could speak to somebody and those people would listen. Now that wall is being broken down because of the abuse and because there is not proper restraints on our system of law in this country. Now you listen to me. Don't you be getting all conservative and liberal with me this morning. This ain't a political church. I know some of you got strong conservative views and you have views that you think it should be this way, and then I got some liberals in this church who believe it should be your way. Well, when you come into this house, you're neither Republican or Democrat. You're not a libertarian. You're not whatever you are. Because when you come into this house, this is a safe house. And everybody can come in this house. And the views of that's why you never hear me talk about politics and tell you what I am or how I vote. Because I don't promote anybody. I think it's silly for people to prophesy and say this is God's man or that's God's man. I think we align ourselves with things and make the church look foolish. You want to vote? Vote. But quit saying out of God's mouth what it is and what isn't. Are you hearing me? You got the same brain I do. You got the same ability that I do. You have the same ability to get the information you want. And guess what? You're going to believe what you're going to believe. I said, you're going to believe what you're going to believe. I said, you're going to believe what you're going to believe. But you can't come in to this house and then say what you say and think that it's the gospel truth. There's only one gospel. It's the Bible. That's your opinion. And you have proof and you have ideals. But I want you to know something. It can't separate the body of Christ. And God help us if we're going to be separated along the lines of political lines that the church is going to be decided about politically how we're voting. Because if that becomes the point, look, we're going to miss a lot of people being able to find Jesus Christ in this last day. Honey, being a Democrat or Republican is not going to keep you out of heaven. The only thing that's going to keep you out of heaven is because you've not repented and asked Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, this is a safe place. Amen? Are you still with me? Or did some of you get mad because I start talking politics? Amen. Amen. I know I can see some people's face. They think I'm going to go one way and I just take a sharp right turn, 90 degree and go the other way. But you know what? I'm not here to be a politician. I'm here to be a preacher. Amen. I'm here to be a pastor. And I want you to know I don't care if who it is. Those people are haters of God. I don't want nothing to do with them. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Here's how you need to vote. You need to vote your conscience. I said you need to vote your conscience. And your conscience should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you, then you need to vote that. Amen? Don't be telling other people in this body they're wrong because they're voting for something. Amen. I guarantee you it's all going to come out in the wash anyways. And I can tell you this. We are living in the end times. And I'm going to show you in the Word today to where that we are. But not what many of you think is the end times. All right, look with me here, okay, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21 again. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Is that what your Bible says? Amen. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I want you to see that phrase there, hold fast. And what it means to keep possession of. Are you hearing me? It means to keep possession of. Here is the illustration. The illustration is that you are on a ship and you have the wheel of that ship, which controls the rudder of that ship. Amen. You have a hold of the wheel. Get that in your mind. How many's got that picture in your mind? You got a hold of the wheel and a storm comes up. The last thing you want to do is what? Let go of the wheel. You have to hold fast to that which is good. You have to hold fast because in the middle of the storm, listen to me, that even though the storm may toss you this way and may toss you that way, if you're holding fast to the wheel, it will keep you in the position that you need to. Are you listening to me? It will not cause you, because you don't want to go sideways. I said you don't want to go sideways either way, because if you go sideways against the storm is going to tip you over. But even though you're faced into the storm, you hold fast to that which is good, because listen to me, the storm is not going to last forever. And I want to share with you today, this world isn't going to be like this forever. I said, this world is not going to be like this forever. And that's why you hear me over and over again tell you that your life here is only about that long. I said, your life here is only about that long. That's all you have is this short time. 70 years, some people, man, 60, 50. My son was only 21. Amen? You don't know. You may live 70, 80 years. My mother is 92 years old. And I want you to understand, but it doesn't make any difference, even if it's 100. On the scale of eternity, your life is only that big. I said, it's only that big. And so where are you investing your life? See, we're investing our life in this world and the things of this world. Like, these things are going to last forever. Who ain't getting no help now? I said, we are investing in this world like this world's going to last forever. Like, it's going to be here forever. Like, the homes we live in, the cars we drive, and everything we have, it's just going to be here forever. For posterity, it's just always going to be here. No, no, it's not. If Jesus does not return, and I want you to know something, in 100 years, your houses, your cars are going to be in a junkyard someplace rusting. And you're going to be in a picture album, hopefully, of your great children saying, who's that? Who's that? They look strange. Hey, man. The only picture probably going to be left is the goofiest picture that you took. And somebody's going to say, were they sick? They had mental issues? I mean, who were they? But oh no, we're going to invest our lives in this world. And the thing, I'm not talking about stopping work. I'm not talking about not prospering and doing all we can so we can propagate the gospel of Christ. But that is what people are missing. We are pouring ourselves and our finances into the pleasures of this world, and they're going to pass. Look, folks, if we really want to make a change, if we really want to make a change in Wilkes County, then my contention is, why not make this church the strongest, the best, the most spiritual, the most healthy place in this county? Not for my sake. Honey, in a few years, I'm going to be sitting in glory. I'm not building for me. And that's what some people are offering. I'm not building for me. Man, that's building for me. I'd put a great big old ugly picture of me out there in the lobby someplace. You know that. Amen. Get some airbrushing done. Take some wrinkles out, you know. Some of this fat and just, you know, and just take it and permanently install it in the wall out there. And leave in my will. Take it down, you'll die. There'll be an eternal. If I was building for me, it would be about me, but I'm not building for me. I'm building for this next generation. And we've got to make this house the strongest that we can for this nation. This week is not about so we can do a good thing and everybody can say, woo, look what Cornerstone's doing. No. This is about investing in this next generation. Amen? Now turn with me to John chapter 4. First John, I'm sorry. Are you still with me? Oh, Lord. First John chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Anybody know where First John is? Right before Second John. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Pastor, what is the difference between, how do we know that something is a spirit? Because everything comes from a spirit. Either it comes from the spirit of man, it comes from the spirit of God, it comes from the spirit of hell. Amen? Are you listening to me? Everything comes, either it's by the natural or by the spirit. So either it's coming, if I am redeemed, it's either coming from my natural man or the spirit of Christ, or it's coming from the spirit of hell. Amen? And if it's coming from the spirit of hell or the spirit of Antichrist, he gives to us, look what he says here in John chapter 4. He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, see, here's the problem. The problem is we think, when we're talking about prophets, we're thinking in the context that somebody's using the name of God. Some do. But anybody who is prophesying, amen, an antichrist spirit. What is that, Pastor? Well, that spirit is hate. An antichrist spirit is anything that is anti-what? That's anti-what? It's anti-Christ. Okay? The word Christ there, Christos, means anointing. Amen? That's what it means. It means the anointed one. So anything that's anti-Christ, it's anti-anointing. It's anti-anything that's God. It's anti-anything that sets men free. Are you listening to me? So it's anti-Christ. He says, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, what does that mean? That as long as we believe that he came as the Messiah, that is necessary, that we believe that he came in a virgin birth. But not just that. What we are confessing there, what John is teaching, is that we believe everything that's in red letter in the New Testament. See, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about he came in the flesh as Emmanuel, and as Emmanuel, what he did in this earth. What was his purpose? It was to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. Are you hearing me? See, some of us are waiting for the kingdom of God to come when the kingdom of God is already on the inside of you, because the Bible says the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus bring? Jesus brought righteousness and peace and joy. How? Because he healed bodies. He raised the dead. He gave the hopeless hope. Amen. Wherever he went. So he always brought righteousness, peace, and joy into the world. And because he came, then the Holy Spirit could come and the Holy Spirit could dwell in us. And he said, greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. We now can do the work of reconciliation, of bringing righteousness, peace, and joy into the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Christ, lives on the inside of me. So now I have the ministry of reconciliation, Paul said. I have the ability to reconcile unbelievers unto God. Ah, Pastor, I heard this before. I've heard this for years. I heard this in Sunday school. What's the big deal anyways? Here's the big deal. You heard it, you just haven't done it. Oops, I told you love hurts. Just because you love somebody does it. And folks, I want you to hear me something. Look, you can use every reason, excuse in the book of why you are not, but you need to hear the truth today. Amen? Look what he says. Let's go on. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that means that his miracles are really not real. That he doesn't heal, he doesn't restore, he doesn't save. That's what he's saying here. Denying the works of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is not about a theological question, did Jesus come or didn't come? No, it's about who he was when he was here in this earth. It's come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Are you hearing me? Whereof ye have heard that it should come, look what he says, and even now already is where? In the world. Doing what? He's doing what? I'm telling you what he's doing. He was at work in Dallas this past week. He's at work in people being shot and killed. He's at work in lives who are destroying other lives. Folks, I want you to know something. No matter what you believe, amen, here is the word. Thou shall not kill. That's the word. Thou shall not kill. And whether you are killing black folks, white folks, brown folks, or green folks, killing people is wrong. Yes. And that is not, hate is not going to resolve the issue. Only people that are going to resolve this, I'm telling you, the only people, because the politicians are at their end. The world is at their end. They are run out of solutions. People have no more confidence in what comes out of a politician's mouth than they do about anything else. They have as much confidence of the politicians today as they do a used car salesman that they know is a crook. Not all used car salesmen are crooks. Just like all politicians are not crooks. But you know what? An association of what happens. That's why now people are saying all police are wrong. Listen to me, folks. We are putting the blame in the wrong place. It's not policing. It is the system that runs our law enforcement agencies. It's not people. My son is a law enforcement agent, and I want you to know something. His life is in danger every day, and he is not evil. He's born again, spirit-filled, and he's a righteous man. And many of those men who are at that probation department are men who are saved and know Jesus Christ. They're not evil. But listen to me, folks. There are men and women without them at their post. Our world would be in chaos right now. Our world would be in chaos right now. And the answer is not to destroy the system. We need to fix the system. We need to heal the system. And the only people who are going to heal that is the church of Jesus Christ. I say it loud and I say it to you today. But he said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15, he says, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle, by letter or by the physical word. He said, that is what you should be listening to. Don't be listening to anything else. If it is adverse to the word of God, why are so many people deceived? Because they don't really know the word. We don't live in churches that are preaching the unadulterated word of God. We're listening to words that have been watered down for so many years that what has happened is we've closed our ears off. We have closed our hearts down and we are not hearing what the Spirit is saying. But guess what is happening in the world today? Our attention is being met at the issues of our life right now. Amen. And 2 Timothy 1 and 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. Titus 1 and 9 says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainslayer, or those who contradict and oppose the word of God. In Hebrews 4 and 14 and 16, he says, let us hold fast to the profession. And I quoted that 2 years. To that which you've claimed you are and believe. This word is stronger than confession. It is what you have become. And your confession aligns with that which you are saying. Your life is aligning with the word. It's not just what you're saying out of your mouth, but it is that your life is aligning. You can't tell your neighbors that they're a Christian, amen, and then yell at them because their garbage accidentally blew into your yard. Hello? Oh, Lord, I must have nailed something there. See, every generation faces a crisis of faith. Every individual is faced at one time or the other with this question. What do I really believe and who do I believe in? That's what's happening to the church right now. What do we really believe? What is really truth and what is not? I believe Paul, when he wrote in Ephesians 6, 10 and 18, he exhorted us to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He goes on to tell us that where our spiritual warfare is. And can I tell you something? The biggest mistake the church makes is they are supremely deceived because they still have not figured out that the kingdom of darkness is organized. They think the kingdom of darkness is some kind of, you know, haphazard, you know, emotional bunch of individuals. But I want you to know something. The kingdom of darkness is highly organized and they are highly disciplined in what they are out to accomplish. The problem is that they're accomplished because they have no other hope. They are doing it out of hopelessness and they are trying to gather as many into the pits of hell before their time is finished. But Paul exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God. I want you to hear something as I wrote it. It still is amazing to me. Here we are, the most educated, the most sophisticated church generation. We are more technically advanced. We have more access to the Word than any other generation before us. Yet we seemingly cannot see any further than the end of our spiritual noses. We still have more confidence in the systems of this world than the systems of the kingdom of God. Why? Because we cannot recognize the enemy at work and we still respond in a carnal manner. I want you to hear this. In every situation, bad or good, come on, stay with me just for a few more minutes. In every situation, bad or good, it makes a withdrawal on your identity. Every time you are faced with a situation in your life, whether it's bad or good, it makes a draw on your identity, who you are. How you respond, what you say, how you act, identifies who you really are. Let me tell you something, folks. In every situation, and I don't care whether it is outside this church or inside this church, if we cannot treat each other right, and we cannot treat each other with love, don't be telling your neighbors. I don't think I like you this morning, Pastor. Well, you know what? I've heard the same thing from my kids. But none of them's moved out yet. So I guess I'm not being hard enough. Are you listening to me? Folks, I want you to know something. We have to live it in here before we live it out there. Just because we come to church, we carry a Bible, because we smile, it's not enough. No, I ain't moving on. I'm staying right here for a minute. We have a responsibility. If you're here a part of this body, I don't care if you are just a member or you're a part of my family. You've been here long enough to know what kind of person that me and Mother are. We didn't just arrive yesterday. We've been here for 5 years. I think after 5 years, you know whether somebody has the goods or whether they don't have the goods. Ain't saying we perfect, by no means. Amen? She's pretty near perfect, but I'm far from it, okay? But I want you to understand something today is this. Whether it's my family or whether it's you, I won't tolerate disunity, and I won't tolerate gossip. I won't tolerate backbiting. I won't tolerate racism. I won't tolerate hatred. I won't tolerate except one thing, and that's unity, and that we're here to support one another. We have to face enough things out in that darkened world than to come into this church and face junk. And some of us need to grow up. Now, whether that's you or my family, some of you are going to have to grow up. Amen. What are you going to do? Amen. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make things right. Folks, let me tell you something. We've got to strengthen. What did I say to you early? The enemy doesn't come through the front door. I said the enemy don't come through the front door. He doesn't come through Christ. He doesn't come in that way. He comes through the cracks of the theological and comes through the cracks in your wall about your attitudes, about your little hidden prejudices, your little hidden biases, your little hidden attitudes that you think you are all cool, all smart, and you got it all down. You sophisticated in hiding it. That's my, how you doing? Now, I know people don't do that to me. Amen? Amen? Now, I know everybody don't show their ugly in front of me. I come to, you know, people, and I'm thankful for it. Jesus knows I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. But I want you to know, that doesn't change the fact that until we get it right on the inside here, we're not going to be able to change the culture out there. We've got to create a culture here that not only is everybody welcome here, but the one thing it is that we have made up our mind to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. But here's the hard part. Love thy neighbor. As thyself. Well, I can't help it. I've just got certain opinions. And I can't help, Pastor, how I feel about, you know, certain people here. I just see things. I just see things. You know, I look at them and I can tell they don't like me. Really? So, you don't think that it possibly could, to stay with me for a couple of minutes. Amen? Might as well shut it off. Stay with me for a couple of minutes. So, you don't think it's possible. You don't think it, because we at home, how many knows we at home? How many knows you're in my living room? We don't have a whole lot of visitors here. Thank God these folks are, I think they've been here a couple of times, but they'll make it through. Listen. You don't think it's possible that just possibly that you don't know the hurt or the difficulty that that person may be walking through at that time. You don't know that they are maybe walking through the hardest trial of their faith. It's not that they've given up because they keep coming. They keep looking. They keep searching. And they're here in this place, trying to find some assimilation, some kind of sense to the issues and the problems of their life. But you got it all made up in your mind. I don't think they like me. Well, glory be to your great spirit of discernment. Because they didn't smile at you or just think that in their life they are struggling with rejection themselves just like you. I tell you who you have problems with. You have problems with yourself. And when you got problems with yourself, the enemy gonna make sure you meet all the other people in the church that have the same problem that you do. And if you're offended on this line, you can make sure you may not heard the other 40 minutes of the message that Pastor preached, but that 42nd minute, 42 and 30 seconds into the message, he said that one thing and your ears went, what did he say? If we can't live it here, we can't change the culture that is out there. We have to make some things right. Some of you, hear me today. Some of you are going to make some things right in the next 30 days. If you want to move on and move through what God's doing, and I don't care. I'm putting everybody together, whether it's you or people in my family. If it's me, I can tell you right now, I don't have nothing against any of you. They're not a person I can't look in the eyeball and have a problem with. You don't want to know why? Because I love you. And I'm a realist about you. I don't look at you and think, oh, they're perfect. Thank you, God, for sending me perfect people. Oh, Lord. Lord, look, I can tell you why. Because I know me. And if I'm pastoring this church, I can only imagine who God is going to send me. But here's the kicker. That's why I can love you unconditionally. That's why I don't look at you and think, you know, they need to change. You know what I have to do every day? I got to get in front of the mirror and say, you know what, boy? You got some changing to do. Because you by no means are perfect. And your attitude, whether it's here or at home, amen, you I don't have to worry about. It's her. Her. You're nothing. Yeah, Lord. But we've been together for almost a half a century. Amen. I bet you wish I was a little wine today, don't you? Huh? I wish this was some LeBlanc right now, baby. He's killing me. He said, Lord, don't let nobody leave. Please, Lord. She wish that was some communion juice right now that the Catholics serve. But see, here's my heart. My heart is that we would be sincere, that our conscience would be clear, that when we stand, and we stand, whether we're in Walmart, or we're at Speedway, or we're in school, or on the job, when somebody looks at us, they know that we are a sincere believer in Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but we are people who are testifying of the goodness, and the glory, and the majesty, and of His forgiveness, and of His restoration to me, who was a sinner lost without Jesus Christ. That's what we want here. And we want them of every color and every race. We want of every tongue in this house. We want everyone, whether they're skinny, fat, ugly, pretty, bald. We need more bald people here. Many of you have too much hair. That's what I do fight. I do fight jealousy over here. Not right to be this old and have that much hair. Are you hearing me? It is what God is bringing us to in this season. But listen to me. In every situation, good or bad, it makes a withdrawal on our identity. We demonstrate our Christ-likeness or our carnality. Amen? I'm quitting. We can blame no one else for this. No one. You may want to blame your husband or your wife. You may want to blame somebody else. This would be a good church if it wasn't for them. No. See, what you're missing is this. They've been placed as a living stone in this building. It may not look like they're doing a whole lot, but they're filling the place that God wants them at. Don't worry about them. That's not your job. You just got to make sure your heart's right. Amen? Because we... Why? Why is it our fault? I'll tell you why. Because we're the ones who are in charge of who we are and how we're going to show up in every situation. Who's in charge? We are in charge. Come on, say it. Who's in charge? We are in charge. Amen. No, the devil didn't make you do it. No, your husband didn't make you do it. Your wife didn't make you. Your kids didn't make you do it. The church didn't make you do it. The preacher didn't make you do it. You're in charge. You are. You're in charge of how you're going to respond. You are. Jesus is our example. He is always the same towards us yesterday, today, and forever. His love for us is unchanging. The Lord doesn't love you less or more whether you perform with maturity or immaturity. He doesn't look at you because you act like a big old baby. And then He said, well, I just can't love you. I can't love you anymore. The Lord doesn't change towards you. He stays consistent in His love towards you. How many can say amen? Then why? If we have the Lord living on the inside of us. See, Pastor, what does this have to do with everything that's going around? It has everything to do with it. Because if we're going to change our world, honey, listen to me. You want to change the world we're living in? can vote, run for office, make a difference. We should have somebody in this church on the school board. We need to have people who are councilmen. We need to have people in this church who are the mayor and who are the head of the sheriff's department and the police department. We need to have men and women who are in every aspect of the government and the economic system. We need to have godly men who are in the banks. We need to have people whose morality cannot be questioned, who cannot be impugned by their testimony. But that is where the changes are going to be made. You teachers who are going back this year, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You can gather together every day and intercede and pray for a dynamic revival in these schools this year. I'm believing God for a transformation in our school system and in our young people this year. If you want to pray, pray for Shane. Pray that God will visit him with an undeniable power and a presence of God that will transform him in the hunger of his heart into a new and brand new place, that the message he preached, that the young people that step into that room will be transformed immediately by the power of Jesus. If you want to make a change, spend your time praying. Pray for one another. If you've got an issue with somebody in this body, you need to pray for them. Amen? Can I go on? You want me to shut up? It just takes one person to say shut up. Who's got the guts to say it? That's right. Amen. He's always the same. Why? Because of his internal values that allow him to be consistent. We want to be consistent, then our eternal values that are put within us has to be consistent. Are you hearing me? You have to allow God to change who you are here. There's nothing wrong with having ambitions. There's nothing wrong in wanting promotions. There's nothing wrong in wanting to succeed. But to succeed without Jesus, it's not success. It's not godliness. It's not true gain. True gain is found in our complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Now, but I could preach a message that's all good all the time, Russell. I can do it. I can preach people. You know, God's given me. I thank God. I can't do a lot of things, but this is the one thing I can do. But where am I going to stand in eternity if I don't tell you the truth? And I don't want you to get weaker. I want you to get stronger. I want you to become true disciples after Jesus Christ. I want you to be so engulfed by the Word and by the fire of God that if anybody touches your life, amen, you're not, you'll be absorbed in the love of God that you are, just like a sponge. You'll soak up the water and the spillage of their hate, and it'll be absorbed in the love of God that absorbs and consumes your life, because your God is a consuming fire. Not a consuming fire of judgment, but a consuming fire of the sacrifices that you're making unto God. Amen? If you agree with it, come on, give the Lord a hand clap today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Forgive us. God, forgive us for our carnality. I want to read one thing to you, a scripture in Psalms 137. I wanted to bring to you the three systems that we struggle with, that Satan has set up. And I'm going to preach it. Maybe I'll finish this message next week. The three systems, you've taken notes, the three systems are made out of Egypt, out of Jericho, and out of Babylon. Out of Egypt, out of Jericho, and out of Babylon. I'm going to give you a quick definition of the three. Egypt stands for that which is trying to hold us in, to keep us in, to keep us prisoner. That's the system of Egypt. What is Egypt? Egypt is the place of darkness that we all came out of that did not want to let us go. Are you hearing me? Satan, the Pharaoh, did not want to let us go. What is Jericho? Jericho is that place that stood between us and the promised land. What is Jericho? Jericho is the thing that's trying to keep us out of the promised land. And what will bring Jericho down? Only one thing. Going to have to be a shout unto God of praise. Let me tell you something. Hear me now. The church in this last day is going to have a praise that is not necessarily birthed because of instruments, but it's going to be birthed out of the victory that is within them of what they have walked through. And they are going to be people who are going to sing the song of victory because they have walked through the flood and they have been through the fire. Are you hearing me? And they are a people who are going to be consistent and faithful. And they're going to shout and watch the walls come down. The third one is still the system that I believe prophetically that is alive even today. It is Babylon. It is that image that is being set up. And what is it? It is for us to conform to the image. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom that was built up. You remember the story in Daniel where that the image was created. And at the sound of the music and the instruments, what happened? They were commanded all to bow down. But Daniel and the three Hebrew children refused to bow down. They refused to conform. If they would just conform, they could have everything that they wanted. Just conform. Just conform to what's going on. You say, well, bless the Lord, Pastor. I can tell you this, I'm not conforming, but we need to search our hearts. Because I don't think the conforming is what many of us think. We're not drinking, we're not taking drugs, we're not committing adultery. But you know what we're doing? We're conforming to the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world is this. Hey, you got time. Cornerstone's always going to be there. Pastor Mark's always going to be there. Amen? It's always going to be there. Well, I want you to know something, folks, is this. We don't know what is ahead of us, but I do know this. That he that overcomes Babylon is he that will not conform to the image, to the false image that is being presented. This image is controlled by the monetary system. Let me ask you a question today. How many of your problems would go away if you had all the money that you needed right now? What is one of the biggest issues that you face in your life all the time? Money. Are you hearing me? This world is controlled by the monetary system. Folks, we think Babylon is a country over there, but the spirit of Babylon is alive and well in America right now. Many of you think that it's going to be a country that is going to be raised in the last day. And I contend is this, that the spirit of Babylon is what we need to be aware of right now. The spirit of Babylon is alive in the world today, and it's alive in America right now. It is that spirit that wants us to conform and to compromise our belief systems and become at ease in Zion. We got people coming to church, but let me ask you something. And here's something Bishop said the other day, and I wish I could remember it to its total, is that our body is sitting in church, but our mind is still captured by the world. We're coming to church, but all we can think about is the job that we have to go back to next week, the bills we have to pay, the troubles we have, and we don't even utilize what we have. It's not about our attendance here. Because you know what? If our heart was right, attendance would never be a question. We would hunger to be here at Cornerstone. Don't get mad at me. You can get mad all you want, but I'm telling you the truth. Don't think for a second. This isn't about hunger. This is not nothing less than the spirit of Babylon that is at work in the world today to take away. It wants you to compromise. Not totally. It wants you to compromise on this Sunday, next Sunday, this Wednesday, that. Folks, I want you to know something. It's going to take a people who are hungering and thirsting after God in a desperate manner to make it in this last day. We're in the end times. But you know where we're at the end at? The end of all the systems of this world are failing that men held their confidence in. Politics, economics, the school system, the law, our legal justice system, folks, is a sham. Our world is broken, and we're acting like there's nothing wrong. Folks, the world is broken, but I can tell you something that's not. His word will never pass away. It'll be here when heaven and earth pass away, but His word will never pass away. Folks, they may be broken, but that doesn't mean the church has to be broken. Would you bow your heads with me today? I'm going to read this as your heads are bowed today out of Psalms 137. And the psalmist wrote, "Alongside Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks. We cried and we cried. We remembered the good old days in Zion." This is when Israel was captive in Babylon. "Remembering the good old days in Zion. We remember the good old days when the church was the church and things were great and wonderful. Alongside the quaking aspens, we stacked," and that was along the willows. Along the willows is what your Bible reads. "We stacked our unplayed harps." That's where our captors demanded songs. And they said to us, sarcastic and mocking, "Come on, sing us one of those happy Zion songs." And here's how they replied, "Oh, how could we ever sing God's song in this wasteland?" Folks, I want you to know something. That is a type of the church today. How can we sing the Lord's song? But here's the statement that I want to make to you in a question form. How can we not, now more than ever, sing the Lord's song in the midst of Babylon that is surrounding us on every side? Folks, it may seem like they are great and the forces against us are too great. But I want to declare to you today that there are more for us than those that are against us. And God's angel armies are surrounding not only this church that we pray over every day, pray over you every day, that you may not see by your natural eyes, but God's angel armies are surrounding this community. Why? Because we are lifting our voice unto heaven and God is hearing our cry. And God will preserve His people. God will take care of His people. And wrath will not fall on His people. God will preserve us. God will keep us. But folks, we are not here to hide. We are here to provide oil and wine to a broken world. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray over our people today. I pray over their lives. I pray over their hearts. I pray, Father, that Lord, that we hear the word that is unadulterated, that is unfiltered, by natural man, but by the Holy Spirit. I speak over each and every heart, each and every mind, that Lord, that everyone that is here that has heard the word today, that Lord, that they will search their hearts. Lord, let pride fall from our shoulders. Let pride fall from us and let us humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, before His mighty presence. Father, let us bow our knees in humility and ask God to forgive us of our sins, to forgive the sins of America, to forgive the sins of Wilkes, to forgive the sins of Cornerstone, the things that went on here that was not godly, that was not righteous. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father, of our compromise in this city, in this church. Forgive us, Father, as we cry unto You today. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds. Make us free. And Father, let us be seekers and searchers after righteousness, after goodness, after mercy, after love. Come on, say it today. Come on, God, forgive me. Come on. some of you need to pray that out of your mouth too. God, forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my jealousy. Forgive me of my envy. Forgive me of my pettiness. Come on. You know who it is. It doesn't make nobody's listening to you. They're so focused on themselves right now, they can't hear it. But you know what you struggle with. Ask God right now, God, forgive me of these things that have plagued my life. Forgive me of those things that have kept me out of your presence. Forgive me of those things that have kept me from your church. Cleanse my heart. Make it new. Renew a right spirit within me today, God. Right now. Father, renew a right spirit within me today. If you're here right now, say, Pastor, I acknowledge